Before we pray, we would like to study a few verses from the Bible to prepare ourselves ready to seek after God. Shall we turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29? Jeremiah chapter 29. Chapter 29, verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. 13. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declare the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declare the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carry you into exile. This is the message God delivered to the Israelites. God remind them, if you seek after me with all your heart, then you are going to find God. This is a promise, not only to that generation, but also to our generation. We have to seek after God with all our heart. The fundamental reason why we have to seek after God. Now, and this is a fundamental reason. Some people may thought, I have no God, but I still live a pretty good life. Why I have to seek after God? In the book of Jeremiah chapter 10, shall we turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 10. Start from chapter 9, verse 23 first. Chapter 9, verse 23. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or a strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. Verse 24. But let him who boast about this, that he understand and know me, that I am the Lord who exercise kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in this I delight, declare the Lord. You know, most of the people, sometimes even including the Christian, like to boast, and boast about something which they are better than others. For example, they are wiser than others, they study better than others, or they are stronger than others, they have more capability than others, or they are richer than others, financially they are well-to-do, better than others. These are the human beings boasting. But the Lord say we should not boast about this. If we look into the reality of these three things, wisdom, strength, and riches, they all can bring us very short benefit. But in the long run, you can find out these three things cannot benefit us spiritually. If you care very much about spirituality, you will find out the three things sometimes has nothing to do with your spirituality. But if only thing we can boast about is that we have the knowledge about the Heavenly Father, and we have the good relation with Him. And chapter 10, verse 10. Let's see chapter 10, verse 10. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 10. But the Lord is a true God, and He is a living God, an eternal King. The Lord we worship is the true God. The true God is trying to differentiate from all the other gods worshipped by the people in the world. The true God is a God who is dependable, is a God who is trustworthy, is a God who is reliable. So in the chapter 10, verse 12 onwards, talk about the true God, the nature of the true God. He made the earth by His power, and He found the world by His wisdom, and stretches out heaven by His understanding. The true God is the God of Almighty. The true God is the God of wisdom. So sometimes in our life we need help. Where comes the help? The help comes from the true God. And the true help actually is not come from money, power, or worldly wisdom. It's come from God Himself. So He is a God of Almighty with the power to create the universe. And also He is a God of wisdom. In your process of growing up, you have a lot of problems you need to resolve. And sometimes you don't know what to do. When you are facing how to choose a career, when you are facing how to decide your spouse, or other important issues, we don't know. Sometimes you don't know what to do. You consult with your parents, and your parents has their own idea, and their idea may not be the same with your idea. You consult with your friend has different idea. So sometimes you are perplexed, you are puzzled. What should I do when I'm facing some important decision? And we know we are worshiping the true God. He knows everything. He knows tomorrow. He knows what is going to happen 10 years later. But you don't know what is going to happen 10 years later. You know a person's outer appearance, but you don't know a person's heart. God knows a person's outer appearance, but God knows a person's heart. You don't know what is going to happen to the one you like or you love 10 years later, but God knows what is going to happen to the one you like or you love 10 years later. So God knows everything. He is a wise God. So the best way we should do when you are in a very important point of making a decision. You have to seek after that advice from this true God. He's a God of wisdom. He's a God of power. Not only so, verse 13 onwards. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 13 onwards. When He thunder, the water in the heaven roar. He makes cloud rise from the end of the earth. He sends the lightning with the rain and bring out the wind from His storehouse. So what does this verse really try to say? This verse really try to say the God we worship, the true God, is a God of love and compassion. So He loves us, so He created the earth we are living right now. And in the earth, He already purposely prepared the water, the thunder, the cloud, the air, so make our life become very comfortable. So the God we worship, everywhere filled with His love. Do you know? Everywhere filled with the love of God. So this is the true God, deserve our worship. This is the true God, deserve our trust. He is almighty, He is omniscient, and He is a merciful God. And not only so, chapter 10, verse 10, talk about He is a living God. What does that mean, living God? Now, living God means God and us, there is an interreaction relationship because He's a living God. Just like if you want to make a friend, you and the other person, there's an interreaction relationship. How do you behave always will determine how other people are going to respond. How other people respond will determine how are you going to react. And our relationship with God is just like in this way, because He is a living God. We know we come for the NYTS. Actually, we are coming to seek after God. This is a true God, power, mercy, and all wisdom. Now, it is for us to adjust ourselves so that we can really find Him in these 2 weeks. In the book of Jeremiah or in the book of Isaiah, we always see that the Israel, their relationship with God is very superficial. And sometimes it's very mechanical. And that is the reason why their experience about God's grace and God's power decrease. Because very shallow, their relationship is very shallow. Today, we should not repeat the same mistake. We have to change. In the book of Jeremiah, let's come back to 29. Verse 13. If you seek me and find me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. The Bible specifies that we have to seek after Him with all our heart. All our heart means 100% of our heart, fully concentration of our heart. Then you are going to find Him. We know that when we pray, sometimes after you kneel down and pray for a long time, it's very easy to become mechanical. When you say hallelujah, when you are praying, you are saying the words, but your heart is not in there. For example, we keep on emphasizing we have to pray for 30 minutes, right? And sometimes in our own home, we set a timer. I pray 15 minutes, or we pray for 20 minutes, right? Then when we start to pray, instead our mind concentrating on God Himself, and our mind keep on waiting whether the time is up or not. So our focus is on the timing. Keep on praying, and you know how we keep on waiting whether the time is up or not. So if we pray in this way, even though we say hallelujah, we are speaking in tongue, but our heart is not concentrating in God Himself. So how long should we pray? Of course, in the Bible, you can never find in the Bible tell you you have to pray 15 minutes or 30 minutes. But from our past experience, if you pray longer, your prayer tends to be deeper and deeper. If you pray longer with your heart, your feeling with God will become closer and closer. Because of this reason, so we emphasize we need to pray a little bit longer. So when we pray a little bit longer, our focus is not in the timing. Our focus is on God Himself. So if you focus your heart on God Himself and thinking God is in front of you, you are talking to your Father in heaven, You tell him in concentration, and every word you speak out of your heart. And very easily, you are going to find a time pass very fast. So, to God, if we pray with voice, with our heart, then this voice means nothing. This voice is just like a noise. So when we pray with a voice, we must pray with the heart. So regardless you pray aloud or you pray a small voice, it doesn't matter. You pray aloud just like Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried aloud, loudly, right? Yeah, perspired in the very cold weather. God listened his prayer, right, and strengthened him. It was not because of voice who touched the heart of God. It because the voice with the heart which touched the heart of God. So some of you pray aloud. That's good. But the loud voice should come from the bottom of your heart. And then your voice will touch the heart of God. But on the other hand, we look into the prayer of Hannah. The prayer of Hannah, he only moved the lips without the voice. So the prophet Eli thought that she was drunk. And Hannah said, "No, I just pour out all my heart, all my trouble before God." Because she really suffered a lot. She was barren and she was not able to deliver the children. And it was a shame. Even though her husband loved her, but love itself cannot resolve the problem. So she had to bring the problem to God and ask God to help. So she concentrated all her mind and prayed and moved the lips without voice. But the prayer touched the heart of God. And God moved the prophet to tell him, your prayer had been answered. So the second year, she delivered a son, Samuel. So when we pray, either you pray aloud or you pray in a small voice. It doesn't matter. For the children, we emphasize you have to pray aloud because for the children, the voice will help them to concentrate the mind. But now you are not children anymore. So you have to learn when you say hallelujah, every word speak out of the bottom of your heart. When you use the heart to praise God, and your prayer is easily to be listened by God. In one of the NYTS, one of the sisters come and asked me. He said, "I pray very hard and fast and few meals, but it seems my prayer goes nowhere." I have a long talk with the sister, and later on I find out the sister prayed really hard, but what should I say? She did not put so-called emotion in her prayer. I don't know what is the proper term to use in English. For example, if you love somebody, love your parents, when you talk with your parents, what the parents like is you talk with your heart. You talk with your parents with a feeling. The parents care about the feeling. So from your speech, the parents feel you care about them. In your heart, you have they are very important. So you have to use a feeling to talk with your parents. Just like in the future, we get married, or you talk with your spouse. Some of the husband after had a very hard working and come back home very tired, and the wife talked to the husband and said, right, and keep on watching the TV and answer the question, and the wife just cannot be satisfied, right? Why don't you look at me and tell me with a feeling? And that's what exactly the wife needs. The wife not only needs the words, the wife needs the feeling behind the words. And God is the same. What does God require you is not only kneel down just like a recording machine, hallelujah, hallelujah, no feeling at all. Well, if you pray with no feeling to God, no compassion to God, and keep on saying hallelujah mechanically and say 40 minutes. Well, maybe you fast, maybe you pray for 40 minutes, but look, God, look at you. What are you doing? Do you know I am a loving God? I'm your father. I have feeling, right? If you pray with feeling, your prayer will touch me. Right? But if you pray only with words, without feeling and mechanical repeating the same words, God look at you, feel very strange. Who teach you? Is a Pastor Liang teach you? Pastor Do teach you in praying this way? Right. So, when you pray to God with your feeling, what should you say? You can tell God, God, I love you, right? Don't be shy to tell God, I love you, right? You tell God, I thank you. You have given me so many good stuff. You have been so good to me from my birthday until right now. I'm very thankful to you. When you speak with a feeling to God, do you know God will be very happy? Because you have response to His love. If you have no feeling or mechanically, God feels is not satisfied. So if your prayer wants to touch the heart of God, please, you pray with a feeling. So we emphasize time, of course, it's good, but sometimes it will guide into the different direction. For example, we can count the time, right? Morning prayer is 30 minutes, and lunch prayer, another 30 minutes, so 1 hour, right? Afternoon prayer, another 30 minutes is 90 minutes, right? After afternoon prayer, another 40 minutes, so how many minutes? 130 minutes, right? And then after the evening service, we have another 20 minutes, so 150 minutes. Then you can mechanically report to your parents, right? What did you do, NYTS? Do you know we pray 150 minutes a day? Can you know that we pray for 14 days? Then how many minutes? So prayer, we use a quantity to count our prayer. Now, of course, pray longer is good, right? But when we fall into the trap, you are using a quantity, a number to express the effort of your prayer. It's good, but you miss one point. Did you use a feeling to pray to the God who has feeling to you? So it's very important. It's good you pray long, but you emphasize is use your heart to tell God. If you have trouble, don't feel shy. Tell God all your trouble, right? If your evil desire keep on bothering you, you have the fantasy thought in your heart, you cannot get rid of it. Just tell God. If you are shy to tell the pastors, tell God. So we know that sometimes the member will send me an email. I don't know who is a member. I look in the email address. I just cannot tell. XYZ, how can I tell who is who? right? And ask a lot of questions. And this kind of question is very confidential question. And they feel, the member feel very comfortable when I don't know who is he or who is she. Right? But in front of God, do you know, if you don't tell God, God knows everything. In front of God, you are transparent. Why not you come to God and tell your weakness to God? God, I am very weak. Right? When I see the opposite sex, I just cannot concentrate my mind. You can tell God in this way. And God wants you to tell Him your weakness. And He ready to help if you want to turn help from Him. Don't feel shy. All your problems, you can tell to Him. He is your best friend. He is your parents in heaven. So this is called we pray in heart. If you pray in heart with a feeling, you are going to touch God. And another heart is heart of repentance. We come short of the time of heart of repentance. Repentance means after you have self-examination, you tell God, I am wrong. I am sorry. Because of my wrongdoing, because of my indifference to you, I cause you to feel sad. I caused you to feel sorrow too. Please forgive me. Pray with repentance. And this is the third day of NYTS. Have you ever repented? Have you ever thoroughly examined yourself? If you didn't, maybe it's a time for you to examine yourself and to repent. Every spiritual revival, the starting point is repentance. Don't you know when Jesus proclaimed a good message, the kingdom of God is at hand. What before the message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And some people ask Jesus, where is the kingdom? And Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God is in your heart. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if 140 people in here all filled with the joy in the Holy Spirit, all filled with the peace, all are righteous in front of God, been purified, and the kingdom of heaven is here. How wonderful it is. But the starting point is repent. Deal with our own unrighteousness. Deal with our own rebellion lifestyle. Deal with our own stubbornness before God and tell Him, I am wrong. I am sorry. Forgive me. Help me. Now we are going to pray. Please come forward and then pray together.